G'day footy fans and welcome back to the OTL NRL Fantasy Podcast. A big shout out to all of our listeners who have stuck around with us even though the NRL fantasy season has come to a close. Because of you guys, we're lucky enough to partner with companies like Manscaped who have a great deal for you right now. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code OTL20 at manscaped.com on a whole wide range of men's grooming equipment. Our personal favorite is the Lawnmower 3.0. The warmer weather's coming up. You're going to be spending time at the beach and you want to have that body hair in check. So make sure you head over to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code OTL20 at checkout.
And we're back for another week of finals footy. But Byron, I don't know if my heart can handle another week.
You've got to be careful, mate. You're getting old now. But what a weekend of footy. It was really exciting. I definitely agree with you there. Plenty of points being scored in all four games. I thought that potentially defense might tighten up a little bit being semi-finals footy. But no, the new rule change meant that we've seen some more free-flowing footy even in the finals. And you love to see it.
Yeah, it was great. I think especially the standout game is no surprise, the Friday night game with the Panthers versus the Roosters.
Unreal game of footy. Obviously, the Roosters started quite well and a lot of people would have been thinking, oh, here we go. The semi-finals, it's a different competition. And although the Roosters have been a bit bumpy of late, here they come with all their experience. But the Panthers, I feel like, answered a lot of doubts in this semi-final game there. A team that hasn't really been put under pressure in quite a long time, but to be able to go down early and not panic, still stick to their game plan and just come back and win that game, it's, yeah, got to be a big vote of confidence for people backing the Panthers.
I thought Nathan Cleary might have hit his all-time record for fantasy points at halftime.
He was on his way, a hat-trick of tries there for Cleary, but 91 points is absolutely incredible. There was another standout performer in that Panthers team in this game that we're going to highlight in a little bit more detail later on, but it's hard to look past Cleary as man of the match in that one.
We had the Raiders versus Sharks as well, and the Sharks surprised me a little bit, especially how they started. The Raiders won in the end 32-20, but I thought they would pack in a bit more of a score than they did.
Yeah, I expected the Sharks to concede some more as well, but they started really well, showing shades of the Sharks of old with a tough, gritty style of footy, but ultimately the Raiders were too much for them. On the back of Jack Whiten, who just came out in that second half and just said, follow me, boys, this is how it's done, and he's probably one of my favourite players to watch at the moment. On his day, he's unstoppable.
And the Storm versus the Eels, another great game, 36-24, but the thing I'm most concerned about the Storm is their defense. They've let in 24 points, and when I was looking at their last four games, they haven't had the opponent score less than 20 points.
Yeah, that's not a stat line that Bellamy will be happy with at the moment. But ultimately, they got the job done, which is the most important thing. They've got the week off this week, and then they're 80 minutes away from another grand final, which is incredible when you consider how long now the Storm have been at the top of the NRL. An interesting one in this game, Liam, something I wanted to get your thoughts on was Vunivalu. He was the first player to cross for the Melbourne Storm after going down to an early lead and did his customary sort of celebration big dive for that try. There's a lot of people that are coming out and saying you shouldn't be doing that when you're trailing in a semi-final. What are your thoughts on that kind of thing?
It's always hard, isn't it? Because it's always very, very risky. I'd probably be wanting to play it safe at that stage and not do something like that in case he got an injury as a result.
Yeah, the injury would be the main concern as he does get some height there, probably more so than a potential handling error. But I think if you're enjoying your footy and that's how you express your excitement for the try, I think go for it. But it was an interesting one that started a few conversations.
Yeah, I've seen the opposite end in the EPL when a player scored a goal and they tried to do a celebration and they pulled their hamstring and they had to come straight off. So I'm always a bit cautious after seeing that one.
Yeah, I can understand why.
Now, we got Pappenhausen, who scored 66 points in two tries. He ended the season quite well. Is he going to be someone that you're looking at before round one next year in your back line?
I definitely won't be as hot on him as I was coming into this season. But you're right, he did finish really strong. Around mid-year, we were getting a lot of comments and tweets about Pappenhausen being a poor buy. But I think by the end of the season, once he'd started to hit his straps, people were pretty sold on him as a great third wing fullback option. Didn't hit the heights, though, still that I expected he would. But yeah, my expectations were through the roof after his 2019 performances.
And what about the end of the round with the Rabbitohs versus the Knights winning 46-20? The Rabbitohs have been on fire in the last couple of games since they lost against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, their attack has been so slick. And the Knights, unfortunately, as we've seen it in the past, they just seem to slip away toward the back end of the year. Ponga and Pierce, to be honest, probably looked a little bit tired. You could probably say the same for Clemmer. They were in the game to start with, but faded away. And yeah, the Rabbitohs attack, it's really hard to stop on their day. So they're certainly going to pose a big threat to the other teams in the final weeks of the final series.
And next we're on to hot topics, which we're going to discuss some of the hottest topics in the NRL over the last few days, including the Queensland Origin backline, Jerome Luai's recent form, Freddie's call to Lomax, and the New South Wales snubs in the Origin squad. So we'll kick things off firstly with the Queensland Origin backline. So we know that Ponga looks to be out of Origin after he's going to have shoulder surgery.
It goes without saying he's a massive loss for Queensland in a year that I thought they're probably going to be up against it even full strength. I know I've obviously got a bit of Blues bias here, but I feel like that Queensland really need all of their stars on deck if they're a chance of taking the series back this year. What do you rate the Queensland chances?
Yeah, quite slim. They've got a lot of key injuries out. The replacements, they haven't got any great replacements because Val Holmes is out due to suspension. We've got players like Milford and Michael Morgan who might have slotted in both that sideline as well. So the logical choice in there is AJ Brimson, I think.
Yeah, you'd have to think that AJ Brimson will be a walk-up start for that number one jersey. But looking at the remainder of the back line and the squad that they've put together to date, and there's names like Philip Sammy, Edric Lee, Heimel Hunt, Xavier Coates. There's not a lot of experience there. So whilst there's some good youthful talent, I can't see them matching the Blues with these sorts of guys making up the back line.
And next, we're going to look at Jerome Luai a bit more in depth because he's been one of the ones who's exceeded our expectations, especially for me. I sold him halfway through the season, but he did prove me terribly wrong.
Unbelievable. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Nathan Cleary and deservedly so. But I mean, Luai, look, he didn't come out of nowhere. He was the highest owned NRL fantasy asset heading into round one. But I don't think many would have expected him to reach the heights that he has this season, not just from a fantasy perspective, but just from his impact on the field.
Yeah, it's now crazy to think that many were calling for him to be replaced by Burton at some stages.
Absolutely. And I mean, we were promoting him as a slow burn cash cow at best, potentially someone that could chime in every few weeks and keep his price ticking along, but certainly not someone we were confident in recommending for scoring 17s on a weekly basis. But for those coaches that did hold him, he was an automatic start toward the back end of the year.
Yeah, with 22 try assists, he can only be bettered by Sean Johnson. So that's some big feat.
Yeah, an incredible effort. And I think his effectiveness working with Crichton and Kikau is also highlighted by the fact that he was second for line break assists behind only James Tedesco. So a really dangerous option on the left edge there. But something I thought was really interesting and I was keen to get your reaction to, Liam, was Mick Ennis's comments through the week indicating that Luai is now on the same level as Munster. What are your sort of first reactions to that?
Well, I thought he had an overall probably better season than Munster this year, to be honest. But as an overall player, I'd be looking at Munster if I had to choose one of them.
Yeah, I mean, if I was building a side, I'd still take Munster due to his pedigree and experience in big games. But if you're just looking at each player in terms of their form this year, then it's hard to argue with Ennis on that one. But yeah, I mean, we touched on the game against the Roosters at the top of the show, but there was one play in particular that really impressed me, and it was for Nathan Cleary's third try. He was floating out there on the left-hand side, locked eyes with Flanagan, dummy to Kikau on the inside, then kind of accelerated away to make Flanagan overchase. And then he just dropped Crichton underneath, who went through a massive hole and ultimately set up Nathan Cleary. That had to be one of the best tries of the weekend.
Yeah, it was a very impressive try. But is he someone that you'll be looking at next year?
No, so I think this is actually a bit of a trap that's he's laying at the moment for maybe new fantasy coaches coming into the game for next year, because there's so much talk about him at the moment and we're seeing these incredible plays. He's going to come into next season priced not too far away from his output when he is playing his best footy. So while he has been incredible, he's still not quite at the level of Cleary and DCE in fantasy terms. And given that he's going to be up there in price, I'd be sticking more toward a genuine cash cow that we could talk about a little bit later with a couple of options or those premium guys.
So over the last few days, one of the big little viral videos in the NRL was Freddie's call to Zach Lomax.
Yeah, it was a great little video, I think shared by Fox Sports through the week. It actually gave me goosebumps. So for those who missed it, Freddie recorded his phone call to Zach Lomax to let him know that he's been selected for the 27-man squad for New South Wales. And he was overcome with emotion. You could tell it broke him up sort of straight away. And Freddie said this is probably his favorite part of the job. But an interesting point I wanted to talk to you about, Liam, was off the back of that, there were some negative comments about Lomax sort of becoming so emotional and showing that emotion. But for me, I love that. And after seeing that video, that made me want to see him, you know, wear that Blues jersey even more.
Yeah, definitely. I don't understand the backlash from the video, to be honest. Obviously, he's a lot of pride getting that jersey, and it's just like a player getting his first grade debut or anything like that. Obviously, they're going to be overcome with emotion. It's something that they've strived for their whole careers. So, yeah, I don't understand that one bit.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of positive comments as well, but certainly a few people giving him a bit of stick for being so emotional. But yeah, that's just actually firmed him as one of my favorite players at the moment. He was a really interesting option for fantasy this year. We both started the year with him. You kept him all the way through where I sold early on in what was probably my biggest error of the whole season. But just in terms of his impact for New South Wales, I think his aerial ability, his defense, and his goal kicking is going to be a really good asset for the Blues if he does get an opportunity. But one area that he may be asked to look at by Freddie Fittler is his errors. So incredibly, Zach Lomax actually led the comp with 40 errors for the season. So second place was Scott Drinkwater with around 8 less. But yeah, that one really surprised me.
Yeah, that's quite significant, isn't it? Because if he would have dropped, say, 20 or 30%, especially leading up to next year, his average could significantly go up.
Yeah, so I think the scores are only going to climb for Zach Lomax as he continues to fine-tune his game. But yeah, great to see that. I'm stoked we got that little insight into that phone call, and I'd love to see that side of the NRL highlighted more in mainstream media. I think that's something that fans across the game would love.
Well, something similar actually happened early last year when Morris handed the jersey to Bronson Cherry to make his debut in the first grade, and he was about to call his mum. So that's always great to see when those type of moments happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've got some snubs from the New South Wales squad already. Clemmer and Wade Graham, the biggest casualties. Are you a bit surprised by them?
Yeah, it did surprise me a little bit. They're both stalwarts in that Blues team now, and they've featured in every draft team that I'd put together through the year. That's something you and I like to do, text each other our New South Wales teams as we go through the year. To answer your question, definitely surprised. I just feel like they're such big game players, and even though through their club footy this year they may not have had their best performances, but put a blue jersey on them, you know they're going to go to another level, much like we've seen with Boyd Cordner over the weekend. He was one of the best players on the field despite being in a losing team, because they've just got that extra gear, but they're not going to get the opportunity. And a big smoky that I actually noticed just before we hit record on this podcast is apparently Freddie Fittler's looking at Moses Leota from the Panthers.
Yeah, that did surprise me. But the thing that I have a lot of respect for with Freddie is making those big decisions. He's not afraid to cut anyone. I am a bit surprised with Clemmer. Not so much with Wade Graham. I thought he would have kept one of those type of players in the squad because, as you said, they're the type of players that could be playing fairly average in their club, but they really, really come out of their shell in Origin. They were built for it. So, yeah, I'm still a little bit surprised with Clemmer.
Yeah, that's right. And your point with Freddie and not being afraid to make those big calls is spot on. We've seen that last year, didn't we? And given his recent success, you'd be a brave man to bet against him at the moment. So I guess in Freddie we trust.
Before we look at some of the top six price falls in 2020, we got some news of yesterday that Kickass out for the preliminary final.
Huge blow. Obviously had that lifting tackle on Jared Werriar-Hargreaves. The Panthers did fight that at the judiciary, which I feel like they had to. But luckily for them, they've got a full healthy squad. And you'd think Kurt Capewell will slot straight into that position. He obviously won't have the X factor that Kickow has, but he's a big game experienced player that's going to be solid as a rock for them.
Yeah, Kurt Capewell has done well this season when they've needed him. And yeah, it's a massive blow for the Penrith Panthers, but they've got some players to easily slot in that spot. Okay, so moving on to their top six price falls in 2020. So Byron published a post earlier in the week noting the top six. So we're going to start off with Anthony Milford, who lost just over 400K this season.
Yeah, Anthony Milford is on top and he lost more than 100K more than the next player on this list. So a really poor season for Milford. He did actually start quite well with 250 plus performances in the opening two rounds. But unfortunately, he was only able to produce 27.5 points across the next 11 games on average. So I guess the big question for you, Liam, if he is priced at a mid to high 20s average next year, do you look at him with a fresh season and a new head coach?
We know he's one of my least favorite fantasy players, so I'd have to see a decent sample size for me to even consider him.
There you go. So not willing to take the risk on him. But I feel like you've got a little bit more love for the next guy on the list in Luke Brooks. So 289K in price falls over the season. You had him in 2019 over that incredible run to finish the year where he was scoring 73 points per game in his last five rounds. So he's got the pedigree. He was overshadowed by Benji Marshall this year. He looks like he's going to be offering pretty exceptional value.
Yeah, without the exactly seeing the kick meters, I remember Benji taking a couple of hundred kick meters from Luke Brooks. So it'll be interesting to see next year if he can get those kick meters back because that would really enhance his fantasy average.
It certainly would. And look, he wasn't getting the monster kick meters that you see with Moses, Cleary, and DCE even last year, but he was getting a lot of tries and try assists. And I feel like he's the type of player that benefits from being the main man in the squad. So I've got really high expectations of Luke Brooks next year, and I think he's going to be very tempting at a new price point. But we'll obviously talk about him in more detail when we get a little bit closer and get a little bit more info on who he's potentially going to be partnering and what that looks like. But number three on the list, Liam, I'm interested to get your thoughts on Jai Arrow. Lost a similar amount of money there, going to a new club next year. Are his fantasy gun days over or are you tipping a bounce back?
My only concern with Jai Arrow next year is he is going to the Bunnies, and we do know Wayne Bennett likes to rotate his forwards, and that would be my major concern. However, if he's looking at decent minutes, he could be a really good mid-range pickup.
Yeah, it is so true what you say. It is hard to see extended minutes for Jai Arrow when he manages Cameron Murray's so vigorously. So we don't see the big minute games from Murray too often either. So Jai Arrow has had his issues. It's been the lower back complaints in recent years. He was only good for mid-40s this year. So yeah, it would be a big bounce back, but I'm sure plenty of people will have a look at him based on his 2019 and 18 output. But the next guy on the list, Liam, incredible to see him here as we actually spoke about him as being a great value option heading into this year without knowing the full extent of his injuries. And that's Andrew Fifita with 265K lost over the season.
He's one of the people that we actually wrote a preseason article about because he was on our both of our watch lists, but he only played 11 games and only started three of those. He's a type of player that wouldn't surprise me if he gets switched to the Super League at some stage to join his brother because, yeah, he's not getting the minutes that he is requiring at the moment.
No, and 31 years old now and that chronic sort of knee issue, it's going to be hard to see him bounce back to fantasy relevancy. So probably the first one on this list so far that I won't consider going into next year.
We've also got Will Hoppawattie. So he's someone that I actually picked up in the back end of the fantasy season just because of his dual position status and he could cover my center and wing fullback position. As you know, he regained that fullback position midway through the season. Is he someone that you're looking at for a cheap wing fullback cover?
Yeah, definitely. If he's priced anywhere near where he finished this year, then he's almost certainly a lock in my team. We know his long-term average at fullback is around the 40 mark. If we can pick him up in the centers again, then I think he's a really good pickup.
And lastly, we've got CHN for the Raiders. So obviously after that preseason incident for the Bulldogs, he moved to the Raiders midway through the season. And as a result, he sort of eased his way into the Raiders squad and pretty much only started twice and pretty much came all these other appearances from the interchange.
Yeah, limited minutes for CHN this year, but you've only got to look to 2019 and in particular the offloads that he had. So he actually led the competition. It's only a matter of getting minutes for him. And with Bateman leaving at the end of this season, there's going to be an opportunity for him. So if he lines up in that number 12 jersey next year, he'll be straight in my team.
He's also one of those nice, quiet little draft options as well later in the draft.
I know you'll have him tucked away.
So next we're looking at some of our ballsy predictions, which we put out last week. My big one was the Raiders winning by 30 points and Bateman to score a double and lead the man of the match. The Raiders did win by 12. However, Bateman didn't exceed those expectations. I thought he might. So you never know, this weekend, he might get that double then.
I wouldn't put it past John Bateman across the line on any given week. But although most of your predictions were a miss, you were a lot closer than me. So my ballsy prediction was the Eels by 4 with Gutherson for over 250 run meters, 2 try assists and 78 NRL fantasy points. Both of those points blanked in a big way. The Melbourne Storm were far too good. So I don't think we can chalk up a score for either of us this week. But that's the nature of it. We want these predictions to be ballsy and a big outside chance. So we'll have to go back to the drawing board this week and see what we can come up with for week 2 of the finals.
So talking about the week 2 of the finals, looking at Friday night's game, we've got the Roosters versus the Raiders. So who are you liking on that one?
For me, it's the Roosters. I know you're probably going with the Green Machine, but Friend and Sonny Bill Williams back into that side. Two really experienced campaigners. I know they didn't get the result against the Panthers, but you've got to remember they weren't too far off. So Freddie Lussick drops out, Jake Friend comes in at hooker, and I think that's a massive boost. After a bit of a check last week, I reckon Trent Robinson is going to have them ready to go, and I think they're going to pip the Raiders in this one.
Yeah, I see the Raiders pipping the Roosters. I see them going out, yeah, in straight sets. So it'll be an interesting game. I think it'll be quite fiery. It's a grand final rematch. So it's going to be, yeah, good for the eyes.
It's going to be an absolute cracker on Friday night. So yourself and Gus are in agreeance there. Roosters bombing out of the finals. And is it more so, you're looking at them thinking they're an aging squad and carrying a few too niggles for your liking?
No, I just think the Raiders were going to grind them out, especially in their forward pack. I can just see them, yeah, just grinding that result out, to be honest. I don't think they're going to win by, say, like 10 plus points. I can see it being less than 6 points, but I think they're just going to do the job.
Fair enough. And the final game of the weekend, Liam, the Eels and the Rabbitohs, also promises to be a really entertaining game. But I've got the Eels being up against it. I touched on the Rabbitohs attack a little bit earlier in the podcast, but they're also going to be missing Sivo and potentially Ferguson as well, which is a big blow. I think in finals footy, those play one hit ups from the wingers coming in, taking a bit of pressure off the forwards is crucial. So they're going to be missing that firepower coming into this one. Who are you tipping?
I think the Eels just, I think it's going to be a very free-flowing attacking style game. I think we're going to see a lot of points. players that have really impressed me, obviously, from the Rabbitohs is Cody Walker, but even Corey Allen. Now, he's someone that I actually picked up in my NRL fantasy team last year, and he was a bit of a waste of time for me, actually. I think it was in the early 20s he was getting an average, but he's really, really stepped up in that fullback position. And the thing that really interests me is if he continues this form and they get through to maybe the next stage, will Bennett be thinking maybe Corey Allen in my fullback position next year and putting Mitchell back to center?
Potentially. I mean, you're right. His form has been incredible. You know, he's hitting 60 plus at the moment. I'm not sure if you've noticed his fantasy scores of late, but I actually picked him up in my NRL fantasy finals team, which is being hosted by footystatistics.com. So check that out if you haven't already. But yeah, 60 plus for him, another great performance, setting up tries, scoring them as well. So yeah, it's a really good shout. Latrell Mitchell did have some moments, but I mean, he's one of the best strike centers in the game. So I think it'll cross his mind, that's for sure. But Liam, we'll leave it there for this podcast. Just a shout out to another recent review on Apple Podcasts, which comes in from Freds85 with a Z. He says, these boys know their stuff. Some great fantasy tips. Love listening to these guys. Thanks, Freds. Really appreciate the review there. So if you guys are listening on Apple Podcasts and you do enjoy the show, please feel free to drop a review there. We'd love to see your feedback.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.